For a few years, Andrea James' short play, Winyanbogo Yuringa, sat in her top drawer, but it refused to stay quiet. And it was inspired by the landmark TV series Women of the Sun, which broke new ground in the 1980s, by telling the national story through the eyes of Aboriginal women. Winyanbogo Yuringa was meant to explore contemporary Australia, asking questions about identity, kinship and connection. Andrea James is with Away's Rudy Bremer.
Winyanbogo Yuringa is a play that has six Aboriginal women in it, and they're all guided onto a camping spot by the central character. His name is Nisi, and they all go along for what they think is going to be a family camping trip. And for all intents and purposes, it is. But soon we realise that actually they've all been brought there for a very different reason. And Nisi waits for those women to be there to do some important business. And yes, for a whole lot of reasons, they bring the electricity of the city, their hometowns, their family, all of this kind of baggage, literally, they bring onto this camping site. And there's a whole bunch of revelations and arguments and conflicts and beautiful yarns, you know, and just beautiful time there.
Andrea, this play was initially written back in, I think, 2012.
Yes, that's right.
How did it come about?
It was part of an epic, large-scale theatre idea, which was to do a staged adaptation of Hillis Maris and Sonia Borg's iconic Women of the Sun teleseries that screened on SBS and later ABC in 1981. And I was part of a big writing team at that time, and they were assigned with the role to adapt each episode. But my job was to create a brand new fifth episode that would look at Aboriginal women today and what our kind of contemporary burning themes are for us, you know, in the noughties. Yeah, sadly, it never came to fruition. So I had a little 20-minute play that I basically just popped in my top drawer. And all the little ladies in there just sort of kept knocking and said, hello, we're still in here. And so then I was fortunate to get some support from Playwriting Australia, and then I developed it into a full stage work.
Well, how do you take something that's initially kind of intended for screen and then bring it into like that much more immediate sort of space of theatre?
I guess you look for the most amazing dramatic moments that are in there, that things that you can really see and feel that would need to be on stage. And, you know, each episode was very character driven, actually. There was a central character. We followed her story all along. So it was quite easy. But also, you know, Annie Hillis and Sonia wrote in such beautiful poetic ways, and the land itself was kind of really beautifully referenced. So you could really see how it was going to work as a stage set. So, yeah, I always love adaptations, and it just gives you a really strong, beautiful place to work with and a really great creative challenge.
Actually, I wanted to talk to you about The Land, because it's a play about six women, six Yorta Yorta women, but it also, I feel like country is as much a character as them, like as Nisi, as Chantel, as...
Absolutely. I mean, the play can't exist without the country, the land which they go to and which they relate to, you know, in many and varied ways, really. And in many ways, the play is encouraging the women and also the audience to think about the concept of Golpan Lawal, which is about deep listening. And all of the women that come to that place in the play are encouraged to do that, and they are or are not able to do that in a myriad of ways, yeah.
There were moments where I couldn't help but think about my own family and the way that we go back to country and whether you camp or not, and those arguments that you have about, like, where you're going to sleep and who gets to be next to the fire and, you know, your pillow getting dirty. It just...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we all relate to those little, the family bickering and the family joy and how long it can take to settle back onto country as well when you've been separated, you know, from your land and your place, and that it does take a little while to kind of settle in and get away from the TV and the, you know, the iPads and just let the land speak to you.
I've heard that some of the stories and some of the characters are drawn from women in your life. Could you tell me a little bit about how you've kind of played with that?
I probably interviewed about 20 women when I was in the research phase of the work. And I suppose over that time, various themes started to rise up, you know, themes about identity, challenges with identity, lateral violence, you know, repatriation, revocation of culture and language were really huge themes that were coming up time and time again. So I kind of realised that was really going to be the themes of the work after, you know, probably about the sixth interview. I went, there's a real string of themes going along here.
Because it's been a few years since you first wrote it, it's been staged previously.
That's
coming
right.
back to it fresh in 2019. Are there things about it that you feel like need to adapt or?
Yeah, look, you know, ultimately the themes are quite timeless in a way. But, yeah, being able as a theatre maker and a playwright to return to a work is just such a rare and privileged opportunity. I mean, in Australia we don't get the chance to do that very often. Yeah, and time has passed, actually. And I think if I was to write that play now, I mean, there is a whole bunch of, you know, the real thing that I think a lot of Aboriginal women are grappling with is our incarceration rates and the fact that so many women are being, you know, hauled into cells because of unpaid fines. And that is definitely something I would want to write about if I was to do this project again. But coming back to the work and really remounting it and having the opportunity to bring more language actually and much more deeper cultural reference and to kind of learn more about the work actually as well has been, you know, sometimes when you have a distance from something and you work with a new team, I mean, you know, Anthea Williams, the director, and Louise Goff, who is the literary manager at Belvoir, they, you know, they really, you know, gave me some new insights into what that work was or what the gaps were as well. So it was a really beautiful, just slowly trickling up to the surface and learning, yeah, learning new stuff about your own, about your work was really fantastic.
I don't know how to kind of put this, but white theatre has that kind of canon, that classic canon, and you get to find ways to kind of play with and adapt pieces that people have become familiar with, and I don't know that black theatre has had that opportunity yet, and so it's always really interesting to see the way something gets remounted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we, you know, there's been an exciting resurgence of Aboriginal writing, particularly for TV and comedy at the moment, but also, you know, a lot of really great writers have come up, which is incredibly exciting. You know, when I first started 20 years ago, you could literally count the number of playwrights, you know, with one hand. So that's kind of really exciting. But yes, it is going to take us a while to get a backlog of work that people are very, very familiar with. And I think that is to come. It'll take a little while, I think, too. But there's something really unique and special that we bring. I mean, I think, and it's true to say the same with the visual arts sector in Australia too, that Aboriginal arts and cultural practice has really gifted those art spaces something really beautiful and something special that I think, you know, non-Aboriginal Australians, you know, should be very grateful for and very proud about as well. There's an incredible influence, you know, we've kind of brought in these concepts of magic realism and abstraction because, you know, those kind of more naturalistic mainstream styles just didn't suit our stories, you know, in this sort of circular way that we like to yarn, you know, or to come to conclusions. So, yeah, I think that what we've offered the theatre sector in Australia is a really valuable thing, and it makes it something very special and unique to this country. You know, the thing that Arnie Hillis and Sonia Borg did with the Tully series was that they based each episode on this one central character, But for me, because I'd interviewed 20 women and I had these many voices in my head, I knew that I couldn't encapsulate that with one voice or with one body or one mind. So I kind of busted out of the mold and I've created what I think is an every woman play. And so all of those stories that I heard, I knew they needed to be embodied and spoken out loud with many characters. So I guess that's why I came up with the six women. And initially, you know, when it was going to be an epic, there were going to be 11 women, you know, and I just was so excited. I mean, really, how often do we get to see this many Aboriginal women on stage? It's such a rare thing. In fact, I cannot even think of when six Aboriginal women were on stage. Maybe when Leah Purcell did all of her stories, but that was a while ago now, you know. To have all of those women on stage, it just gives me a thrill every time I see it. And they've, you know, in the rehearsal room, all these incredible, beautiful women have actually created a family, even though they all come from all different parts of Australia. A couple of Wiradjuri girls in there, and they're all coming from Western Australia, Queensland, but they've created a little family, like a little clan group, and it's just been, yeah, so beautiful to be witness to.
I've noticed that each time it's been staged, there's been at least one person who is quite new to performing. Is that something that you've been conscious of, like providing a platform for somebody to, I guess, get their start?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, what's so exciting, you know, is that there is so much work out there for Aboriginal women at the moment, you know, that there's work on TV, there's lots of stuff happening in various stages around Australia. And it was just so exciting to be able to, you know, audition and recruit women, you know, at all different stages of their career. And yeah, to provide that younger woman's voice, because there is a young, vulnerable woman in the play, and to be able to give a couple of performers like Tuli Narkle, who the Narkle family come from a great acting tradition. Her auntie Lynette is an amazing performer, and Delara Williams, who've just come out of NIDA, you know, yeah, to give them an opportunity to really test their fresh skills has been really fantastic. Dubs Unipingu, another young woman who's just burst onto the stages very recently and is really hitting a mark there incredibly. So yeah, look, it's great. You know, it's really great to give these women the opportunity. And, you know, what I'm seeing even with Miranda Tapsell, you know, co-writing, you know, the Top End Wedding, you know, where, you know, performers are now more and more empowering themselves to take creative leadership roles and writing and directing. I feel like it's a really exciting time. It's taken a long time to get here, I've got to say, but we're here and we're not going away.
The playwright Andrea James speaking to Away's Rudy Bremer. And Winyanboga Yuringa is on upstairs at Belvoir Street Theatre until the 26th of May. Check our website for more details.